In Congregation, it's quite fortunate we managed to have Mother's Day before I got to this first article of the Apostles' Creed. I once heard of a minister who was very opposed to the celebrating of Easter and Christmas, and to make his point, as Easter would approach, he would preach about Jesus' birth, and at Christmas time, he'd preach about the death and resurrection of Jesus. And I want you to imagine that we had reached this text on Mother's Day just a few weeks back. You'd be wondering if I took a leaf out of his book, wouldn't you? Mother's Day, and here I would have been preaching about the best dad in the world. But in God's good timing, we didn't have those particular issues. I borrowed a sermon title for our sermon this morning from a sermon I preached in May, 4 years ago. The sermon I was preaching was about prayer. And I entitled it The Best Dad in the World because in May, 4 years ago, I learned that my dad's prostate cancer seemed incurable. And I wondered then at the time, I remember thinking at the time whether I should change the name of my sermon. Would it be too personal? But I decided to keep it as it was because I love my dad, and to me he is the best dad in the world. And some 3 years now since his death, I want to keep that sermon title. I want to reuse it this morning. Maybe it's true for you when you were growing up or for your children as they're growing up that you boasted about your dad to the other kids at school. Like, my dad has $1 trillion. My dad's stronger than your dad. Somewhere between the ages of 12 to 20, those sorts of boasts sometimes dry up. And then once your children are grown, they appreciate you once more. And they know your shortcomings and they know your failures, but you're still the best dad in the world. With our wives away at Cadets and Gems Camp this weekend, Nathan and I took our children to Picnic Point for a barbecue last night. And do you know, as coincidence would have it, and I didn't have anything to do with this choice of clothing, my son Arden, who was not yet 12 through 20, was wearing this particular T-shirt. For those of you who can't read it, it says, "I have the best dad in the universe." We're not talking this morning about who has the best dad in the world, even though that's the title I've given to the sermon. We need to be talking this morning about our heavenly dad, the best dad not just in the world, but in fact in the universe, God the Father, our heavenly dad. And I want to help you see this morning why he's the best dad in the world or in the universe as well. There are at least two reasons for that from our text. And the first of those is that our dad is strong. We see that in Matthew 7, Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer. That's the immediate context. He's encouraging them to pray, and he encourages them in these words: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." How can we be so confident when we pray to God? Well, this text would say to us, we can be confident in our prayers because our dad is strong. He is God Almighty. Out of nothing, he made the world, as we read in Psalm 33. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Creation came into being. And effortlessly, God looks over, he oversees everything that takes place in the world. He causes the sun to rise each morning. He causes the rain to fall from the sky to water the earth. Nothing is beyond his control. Our God can do anything. And the Father, we have a God whom we can turn to when we need help. Dad, can you help me with this? We ask when we're growing up. We ask for Dad's help, don't we? We ask for Dad's help because we see that they are better than us at certain things. They are wiser, they are stronger, they are taller, they are more able. When we need to have something done that we can't do, we turn to Dad. Or to Mum, I hasten to add, while Lydia's away. She's got a really lot of practical, handy skills. She's pretty good like that too. But that same attitude of looking for help to our parents, to our fathers, should characterize us when we're grown up as well. And yet so easily we forget, I forget. You see, we become more able to do things ourselves, don't we? When we're children, we're more aware of our weaknesses and limitations, our need for help. But grown up, we can come to overlook prayer. We can do life on our own. Or we think that the things that we need help with are impossible. They're beyond us. They're too difficult. They're in the too hard basket to reconcile a broken friendship, to forgive someone who has sinned against us, to mend a struggling marriage, to recover from the depths of depression, to cope with losing a spouse or a job or a child. Friends, our dad in heaven is strong. He's almighty. He's got the whole world in his hands. At least that's what we teach our children to sing, isn't it? He's got the whole world in his hands. And he can do all things, that means. All things are possible with him. Nothing is impossible. In fact, as Jesus says earlier in the book of Matthew, our dad in heaven is in so much control of our lives that not even a hair can fall from our head without him giving it the okay. I imagine there are some here this morning who wish he hadn't given the okay. But you know, if even the smallest things of our life, a single hair on our head, if those are in his hand, in his control and in his power, then surely that teaches us that our lives and our life and our death, all things about us are in his hands too. That should encourage us to prayer this morning. Parents, it should encourage you to pray for your children and to keep on praying. Because parenting, for example, isn't just do all the right things and follow this little checklist and everything will turn out okay. Bring up children in the fear and love of God needs prayer. For if our children are to love God, then they must have a living heart. And you as parents cannot provide that to your children. You can't do it no matter what you do. It's the work of God and only God. You can, however, of course, be used by God to shape hearts. And so pray that God would give you strength as you to direct your children into a life of Christian discipleship. Pray that you might be faithful in teaching your children about their Heavenly Father. Pray that their hearts might be turned to Him. And you know, it's never too late to start that prayer, to restart praying for your children. They may have left home a long time ago. That doesn't really matter. Our dad in heaven is strong. He can turn around lives. That's nothing to him. Of course, our dad is strong isn't just a message for parents, it's to all of us. Our dad being strong should encourage us all to prayer, should encourage a trusting spirit within us, a spirit that asks with confidence and God's power to answer our prayers. So we can go knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door with confidence. Because our dad is strong, he's God Almighty. Are you praying? Does your life contain prayer? Does it contain real prayer? Trusting prayer, believing prayer. Our dad is strong. He's the strongest dad in the world, in the universe. He's the best dad in the world. Here's the second reason why our dad is the best dad in the world or in the universe. That is that our dad is good. Continuing on in the text, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Just in passing, Jesus reminds us, doesn't he, of our condition before God. If you then, though you are evil. So matter of factly, isn't it? Just acknowledging our human sinfulness. Our inherent sinfulness, that we and our children, we are sinful by nature. I started this morning by reflecting on Mother's Day gone by a few weeks back. You children who are here and not at Cadets and Gems camp, I've got a question for you this morning. How many of you cooked your mum a rotten egg on Mother's Day? Anyone? Any rotten eggs? I'm seeing some shakes of the head. No rotten eggs. What about over in the Weeds family on this side? Any rotten eggs for Mother's Day? No rotten eggs for Mother's Day over there as well. I didn't think I'd get any takers, and you didn't think so either. Because, you see, once again, this is what Jesus is saying. If children, though sinful, know how to give good gifts to their parents, Jesus is saying that if we as parents can be relied to also to do the best for our children, how much more true is that of our Dad in heaven? Because he's good. Our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Dad is good, even if our own fathers or dads weren't so good. I'm very thankful for the years that God gave me my earthly dad, who was good to me. The best dad in the world, I can still say. And maybe that's not the case for you this morning. Maybe as you reflect on years of growing up, you have a lot of sadness. And you'd have never said that your dad was the best dad in the world. Maybe that's true for you this morning. If that's so, I'm sorry you haven't had an example of a good dad from your own childhood. If so, it would have helped you. It would have helped you to understand by parallel, by analogy, by illustration, our Heavenly Father's goodness. For you, perhaps this morning, the jump between earthly dad and heavenly dad is different, not by way of similarity, but by some extent and degree of opposites in contrast. He's all the things your dad wasn't. But I want you to know this morning that even if you had had the best dad in the world, he'd have come up short. Because there are no perfectly good dads in this world. All dads, all fathers fall short. They all fail. We pale in comparison to him. And if you can understand, at least for yourself, even if you haven't experienced it, that you would want to give good gifts to your children, then you can understand that thought that Jesus is expressing, that our dad in heaven is even better. Our dad is good. The goodness of God does not mean that everything in our lives will be sunlight and roses. This world is full of pain, it's full of tears. It's a world full of sickness and of suffering and of death. We live in a sad world, a broken world, a messed up world, a world of cancer, a world of drought, a world of unemployment, a world of sin. And our confidence this morning is not that these expressions of brokenness will not enter into our lives. God nowhere promises you a trouble-free life, a life free of pain, a life free of suffering. Our confidence this morning is not that these expressions of brokenness will not enter into our lives, but that a heavenly dad who is good will turn these hard things to our good. And so God's goodness means that even when we experience difficult circumstances in life, we can face them and trust, hard though they may be, trusting that in all things God is working together for those who love him, whether we can see how that's the case or whether we can't. Think of what it's like as a parent. Maybe you know that true from your own experience bringing up children, or maybe if you're a child this morning, you've seen your parents do this, of allowing your children to make bad choices that result in somewhat unpleasant circumstances. As parents, that's sometimes what we do, at least I do. I hope you do too. The school of hard knocks, the school of learning from experience. Letting children climb trees, even though there's a risk they may fall and break a bone. Well, they're learning, we just have them climb little trees. But we allow those things to happen not because we want to see our children in pain, not because we want to see them hurt, because we enjoy watching our children fall out of trees, but because the school of hard knocks and learning from experience is for our good and for the good of our children. And friends, the same is true of God, but in an even better way. Because while as parents, we sometimes make very poor assessments of what will be for the good of our children, God isn't like that. He knows all things. And so the goodness of God means that we can face uncertain days with confidence and trust and assurance and believing, because our God is good and He's faithful and He's all that we could want. And brothers and sisters, we see God's goodness, and we see that expressed most of all in His goodest gift. Our Heavenly Dad held nothing back. He pulled out all the stops and He gave us His one and only Son, that through faith in Him and Jesus, He might become our Heavenly Dad, our sins forgiven, welcomed into a heavenly family. God's gift of Jesus to us, the greatest reassurance that He loves us and of His goodness to us. Jesus, therefore, is the one that we teach our children about, that we want the whole world to know about. They might come to know our Father in heaven. He's a good dad. He's the best dad. He's what all mums and dads ought to strive to be. They fail. Perhaps your parents failed you. Perhaps you've failed as a parent. Feels like that. Our Heavenly Father is one who will never fail us. But He's not just the best dad in the world. He's the best dad in the universe. Amen. Let's pray.